Now, after this ID, this will be the space show, despite what you might hear after this ID.
Reaching out to your community, the great Southern Sounds of Melbourne, 88.3 Southern FM.
You're watching World News Australia on SBS. Coming up next, watch this space. Australia launches an intergalactic policy.
Yes, an intergalactic policy. We'll have more about that coming up in the show. But this is the space show. And now that intergalactic policy.
You're watching World News Australia on SBS. Coming up next, watch this space. Australia launches an intergalactic policy.
Yes, an intergalactic policy, would you believe? Well, I have a document in my hand, and it's nothing to do with the galaxy or anything like that. But, yes, a policy was launched yesterday. But if you watched ABC News 24, ABC News Victoria, Channel 7 or Channel 9 here in Melbourne, you would have heard no mention of it, so you wouldn't know what the heck I'm talking about. I'm not sure about Channel 10. Someone told me that Channel 10 did run a bit about it, but I don't know. And SBS had a report, and here is that report in full.
Well, Australia is officially joining the space race with the release of the country's first ever space policy.
It's aimed at primarily increasing Australia's satellite technologies, but some experts say we should be taking it much further.
Australia has a very small but rapidly growing space industry. But until today, there was no official government policy on space. It was launched today with a showcase of 14 space research projects funded by the government's stimulus package to the tune of $40 million.
How we use our satellites, how we invest in a satellite capability and space policy generally is something that will always be a part of our future.
But if you are hoping for rockets and space probes, you will be disappointed.
No Aussies in space anytime soon.
The world's got lots and lots of rockets, and that's not really the issue. It's making use of the data from space in a coordinated and sensible way.
But other industry experts say it's a missed opportunity.
There's a gap coming in the ability to look at the Earth from space. Where is that data going to come from when those gaps grow? The policy doesn't really address that.
It's called the Australian Space Utilisation Policy. The key word there is utilisation. It's essentially aimed at utilising equipment that already exists.
Australia's space industry probably isn't going to involve any rockets or sending people into space, at least not in the immediate future. What it will involve is taking the technology that other countries have produced and already have out there and using it better.
There are also concerns that the policy could force young space engineers offshore.
Students come to me all the time and they ask me, where can I get a job to work in space? And I have to direct them to the EU or to the United States or to India or China.
But others say that's not the right way to look at it.
Because a car industry can't sustain itself in a market of 20 million, what hope do you have with a satellite industry or a space industry except in very niche areas?
Business from satellites could pump up to $12 million into the economy by 2030. Sam Eichen, World News Australia.
And that report on yesterday's television. Now, why didn't you hear about it on the other stations? Well, it was pushed aside by Margaret, Malcolm, and Tony. Now, you notice in the report reference to the space race, which, of course, is long and since over. That was a Cold War term. And also, catch this report.
It's called the Australian Space Utilisation Policy. The key word there is utilisation.
Well, he's right. The key word is utilisation, but it's not the Australian Space Utilisation Policy. I'm holding the report in my hand right now, and it says Australia's Satellite Utilisation Policy. Note, satellite. So this is not intergalactic, that is, between the galaxies. It's not even interstellar, that is, the space between the stars. Not even interplanetary, that is, journeys between the planets. It's not even cislunar, that is, the space between the Earth and the Moon. But it is, not even low Earth orbit, because it doesn't propose we put anything up there, pretty much. It's, well, stuck here on the ground. So what's it all about? Well, the Australian Satellite Utilisation Policy was made public yesterday at an event at Mount Stromlo Observatory, which is near Canberra. Senator Kate Lundy had this to say to introduce the policy.
Thank you very much. I would like to respectfully acknowledge that we are on the lands of the Ngunnawal people, the traditional owners of the land on which we meet today, and I pay my respects to their elders past and present. I would also like to extend that respect to other Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who are present today. Your Excellency, Birrananda, High Commissioner of India, and other distinguished representatives of the Diplomatic Corps, Professor Margaret Harding, Deputy Vice-Chancellor of the Australian National University, Professor Matthew Collis, Director of the Research School of Astronomy and Astrophysics at the ANU. To all distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to join you here today in this celebration of Australia's innovation in space. How fitting that we are in these wonderful new facilities here on Mount Stromlo. It's a reminder of some of Australia's unique space assets, and I'd like to formally thank the Australian National University for hosting us at this impressive facility. Before I officially launch the nation's first ever statement of national space policy, Australia's Satellite Utilisation Policy, I'd like to say a few words about why Australia is now choosing to make sensible and strategic decisions about satellite capability. The reason is simple. Satellite capabilities are now a fundamental part of Australia's economy, our environmental management, and our communications infrastructure. The current importance and future potential of satellites is not something we can ignore. Satellite imagery alone adds about $3.3 billion to GDP each year. Positioning technologies such as GPS were estimated in 2008 to have added $1 billion each year to GDP, likely to grow between $6 billion and $12 billion by 2030. NewSat, an Australian satellite communications company, just completed a $600 million financing package for its Jabiru 1 satellite. The NBN satellites represent an investment of nearly $2 billion in space-based communications infrastructure, ensuring remote Australia will have access to the benefits of the internet. A joint report from the Australian Academy of Science and the Australian Academy of Technological Sciences and Engineering calls satellite observations the single most important and richest source of environmental information for Australia. And if you think about the geography of Australia, our extensive maritime territories and Antarctica, Australian involvement in satellite capabilities makes clear sense. The goal of Australia's satellite utilisation policy is to assure ongoing, cost-effective access to the satellite capabilities on which we rely. The policy does not commit Australia to astronauts, domestic launch capabilities, or to the exploration of other planets. Instead, the policy safeguards interests closer to home. It recognises that space capabilities enhance services Australians depend on. It seeks to protect and enhance the access to those capabilities through better domestic coordination and focused international engagement. The policy retains seven key ideas from the Principles for a National Space Industry Policy. First, we will focus on satellite applications of national significance. There are three key applications: Earth observation, including satellite imagery. Second, position, navigation and timing, such as the satellite navigation that allowed many of you to perhaps find your way here today. And satellite communications, which connect the vast and sparsely populated areas of Australia. Second, Australia will assure access to the satellite capabilities on which we rely. This means examining our reliance on space capabilities, the resilience of those capabilities in emergencies, and planning for the future to ensure that we are not left behind. Third, Australia will strengthen and increase international cooperation. Over 60 nations have satellites in orbit, including Australia. Consistent with the Australia in the Asian Century White Paper, Australia will increase its engagement with regional neighbours with expanding space capabilities. Fourth, Australia will contribute to a stable space environment. Space debris is increasingly affecting the ability of all nations to use space, with over 500,000 pieces of debris large enough to damage a satellite in orbit. Australian space situational awareness infrastructure and diplomatic efforts are two key contributions to international rules of the road, if you like, for space activities. The debris tracking undertaken just next door by Electro-Optical Systems under an Australian Space Research Program grant is one example of leading Australian expertise in this regard. The fifth principle is to improve Australian domestic coordination. Many of you will recognise this as an immediately obvious need. Australia has excellent satellite-related capabilities in states and territories, from Western Australia's satellite imagery hub Landgate to precise positioning networks in the eastern states. Australian industry has a niche, has areas of niche expertise, including the ANU testing facilities right here. Australian researchers are world leaders in the analysis of satellite imagery for environmental and agricultural monitoring. To improve domestic coordination, the Commonwealth will take advice from an advisory committee with members from state and territory governments, industry and academia. The sixth principle is to support innovation, science and skills development. Space has long inspired people to become involved in science, technology, engineering and mathematics. Space technology is an important area of innovation and growth, and Australian space scientists are working on cutting-edge research in hypersonics, precision timing and advanced materials. The final principle is to protect and enhance national security and economic well-being. This principle will include actions such as examining the resilience of our space infrastructure and making the most of synergies between national security space capabilities and civilian space capabilities. The policy is concise, but this is not indicative of the effort which went into developing it. The genesis of the policy was the Senate's inquiry, as you've heard, into the space sector back in 2008. Then the 2009 Super Science Initiative established the Space Policy Unit and the Australian Space Research Program, some of which the results from are displayed in this room. In 2011, the government released the principles for a national space industry policy. And last year, comments on the draft policy were sought from industry, from the research community, and from state and territory governments. Today, we are seeing the culmination of all of that work in the release of our satellite utilisation policy. Now, I want to emphasise that this document is a beginning and not an end. There is still work to do in better coordinating Australia's domestic space activities and improving the way we work with our international partners. On the government side, Geoscience Australia and the Bureau of Meteorology are leading the development of more detailed infrastructure plans which examine the investments Australia could make in our satellite-enabled future. The roles of government departments are made much clearer in the policy, but there is still much work for Australia to do in being better coordinated in our space activities. This applies domestically, but also internationally. The international aspects are particularly important given our heavy reliance on satellite data provided by other nations. Therefore, I'm pleased to announce that from the 1st of July this year, my department will have a new Space Coordination Office, responsible for coordinating Australia's domestic civilian space activities and showcasing that excellence to the world. When I see the talent, enthusiasm and dedication of the Australian space community gathered in this room and in the exciting Australian space research projects that are on display today, I know we have enormous potential and I'm excited to be here at the start of a new chapter in Australia's space engagement. It therefore gives me great pleasure to officially release the policy today, and I commend it to you. Thank you.
On this evening's The Space Show, we will summarise the 28-page satellite utilisation policy document. We heard there Senator Kate Lundy introducing it at Mount Stromlo, which, by the way, is just outside of Canberra. The first chapter outlines the ways to strengthen Australia's use of space. It says, and we quote, "Australia aims to achieve ongoing, cost-effective access to the space capabilities on which the nation relies now and in the future." It goes on to say that we already use space for telecommunications, emergency management, weather forecasting, banking, transport, environment management, and national security. Space capabilities is defined as both satellites in orbit and the ground systems that support them and use the data from them. In the past, Australia has been able to access international space capabilities for free. This is decreasingly the case. Australia must contribute selectively to prioritised international missions if the nation is to benefit from the information they provide. The policy advocates we do this by supporting niche areas such as ground infrastructure and the application of space information. The aim is to achieve cost-effective outcomes. The policy does not commit Australia to these activities. Human spaceflight, domestic launch capabilities, and exploration of other planets. So, if you are an Aussie, don't aspire to be an astronaut. If you want to launch a satellite, you'll need to go shopping overseas to purchase its ride into orbit. And if you have this brilliant idea for an instrument that could help explore the moon, asteroids or planets, then don't hope the government will help you. Well, Chapter 2 asks, why should Australia be involved in space? It says, because Australia's dependence on space systems has increased. Another reason it gives is that the suppliers of space capabilities are changing, and we cannot continue to rely solely on the countries who have helped us in the past. The report states that over $4 billion of gross domestic product is derived from space capabilities. Presumably that is per year, although the report is unclear about that. As an example, seasonally satellite imagery helps mitigate agricultural threats by monitoring potential habitats for pests. Space-based positioning systems allow high-efficiency transport and logistics. The policy describes other uses of space capabilities. The new policy's third chapter sets out Australia's national goal in space. And it says that to achieve ongoing cost-effective access to the space capabilities on which we rely. And it notes that achieving the goal will contribute five key benefits to Australia. Firstly, improved productivity. Secondly, better environmental management. Thirdly, a safe and secure Australia. Fourthly, a smarter workforce. And finally, equity of access to information and services. The fourth chapter of the policy sets out a strategy for achieving Australia's space goal. This is to focus on space applications of national significance. In particular, it identifies Earth observation, communications, position, navigation, and timing. In each area, the government, In each area, the government does not intend to invest directly in satellites, but rather in domestic ground infrastructure that supports Australian access to data. It will be up to other countries to build, launch, and operate the necessary satellites. The only exceptions cited in the policy are the satellites for the National Broadband Network. The Australian government will actively promote to international partners Australia as a preferred location for ground infrastructure. This would include tracking, communications, and calibration or validation. To be worthwhile to Australia, it would not be a simple matter of hosting the tracking facility. We would also need to secure rights to access the data passing through those facilities. For example, both NASA and ESA have tracking facilities in Australia, but the data passes on through to the Americans and the Europeans, and we don't get use of the data. Now, one innovation in the policy is to make Australian contributions to international projects early in development. This would ensure that Australian requirements are addressed. There would be little benefit to our receiving data only to find it's of no use to us. The government promises to consider opportunities to develop Australian systems, sensors, hosted payloads, or even entire satellites. This would only be done after cost-benefit analyses. The risks of overdependence on international systems would form a part of this analysis. The government would, as far as possible, use commercial suppliers to meet Australia's civilian space needs. The policy document recognises the need for international law and regulation and promises to work toward a stable space environment. There is already a wide range of space activity in Australia, and the government says it will act to better coordinate it. In the education of the next generation of engineers, scientists and other workers, the policy advocates the use of the context of space to engage students and teachers in science, mathematics and engineering. Chapter 5 of the Satellite Utilisation Policy sets out the government departments responsible for space activities. The sixth chapter provides a framework for the coordination of civilian space activities. This includes advice and information sharing with state and territory governments. In summary, the policy keeps most of our space-related activity here, on the ground, in Australia. We will use other folks' satellites where possible. We will work to reach international regulatory frameworks. Support will be provided for education. No new funding is promised. And the policy is certainly not going to be intergalactic.